Welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are rethinking the future of customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and as how we continue to lead as those expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm James Mill.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation. So James, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
So my hot take, it's a great question. I work in the financial services industry, and I do two things really, where first thing is I work with retail clients and I have conversations, work with them on their investment plan. And then the second thing that I do, and this is where, you know, nobody really understands what I do and my wife still has questions about it, is I coach financial professionals on how to sell investment products. And so much of my day is spent coaching and scaling businesses and all this different stuff. And so to answer your question, there's really two things that kind of revolve around what my hot take would be. One's industry related and one's business related. So if we dive into the industry aspect of it all, I work with insurance agents, I work with independent advisors, I work with kind of everyone across the board when it comes to the financial professional coaching that I do. And in that, the hot take I'd have is really that the insurance industry is very transactional. And so what we lack in the insurance industry in general is the fact that, like, you're supposed to come in and have a holistic financial plan, and you're supposed to, you know, build stickier relationships. Because if I'm having a conversation with you, as an example, and I say, hey, in understanding your objectives and your goals and your needs, you need life insurance, you need growth investments, you need an annuity for income, or you need XYZ. And so the transactional nature of a life insurance agent isn't really breaking into that. And so that client's not necessarily going to be sticky. But the flip side is I work with a lot of registered investment professionals who they advertise themselves as only fee only. So predominantly what they're selling is growth oriented investments like equities, bonds. We don't need to get into the minutia of the financial world, but what they lack is some of the more transactional stuff like life insurance and annuities. And so it, because those types of products might be something that they're uncomfortable with, or maybe they're products that, you know, they don't like the fact that they get commission from and stuff like that, even though they're not products they're accustomed to on the registered investment professional space, it's still something that, even though it's transactional, it fits in the client's holistic plan. And so there needs to be that balance between the more transactional business and the more legacy, like, holistic planning business. But then the second point I like to make too is about just business in general. And as someone who's starting my own business called I Invest Financial Partners, where I do exactly all the stuff I'm talking about, well, one of the things that I'm constantly hearing from the small business owners I talk to, or the accelerators I'm a part of, or the, you know, the venture capital funds that I might be trying to attract, they're like, hey, we need people who are constantly busy, who are, you know, working from dawn to dusk, and they're making a million phone calls, and they're, you know, working their life away. And my hot take on that, and this is one of the reasons I want to talk to you today, is that you don't need to do that. Like, you need to put in the work, and there's going to be elbow grease that comes into it. But then when it comes to business ownership and scaling and in business, is that you have to build processes and systems and leverage technology, leverage strategy, so that you're making it where you don't have to work hard, you know, and that's really key. And so how, so much of what I talk about nowadays is like, all right, well, you need to come up with a business plan, right? You need to know who you're targeting and where to find that info. You need to know why you're worth your client's time. You need to, and stories around that, you need to have how I'm planning to go to market. And this goes into like your social media, this goes into your emails and your phone calls and your meetings and conferences that you're attending and stuff. But you need to have that. And then you just need to know what you're going to face, and let that be your living document that will drive you towards growth. And if you're leveraging technology, and I think that's the best thing that's possibly happening to most industries right now, is the advent of AI. Like I coach a lot of people around, hey, you need to adopt these technologies for prospecting. Like, and there's a variety of stuff that I talk to, like in content creation alone, ChatGPT is most of what I'm posting on LinkedIn, right? And I'm not alone in that. And so that would be my main two hot takes. And again, just don't feel like you need to work your life away because there's too many tools and resources. And if you're creating a strategy and you're just implementing the strategy, you shouldn't have to work your typical 9 to 5. You should be able to automate your freedom away. But on the flip side is my industry in particular is definitely in the crosshairs of change. And so those are, again, when you've been over the questions in preparation for a conversation, I was like, man, could I talk for days on these topics?
And I agree with so much of what you're saying too. Like, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and so I've started too many businesses, frankly, because I get excited about an idea and I love like the thrill of the solve, right? And so I'm kind of going through that process right now where I've got a new startup. I'm trying to build it. I'm doing the whole VC thing and I'm doing all of those conversations and I'm trying to prove product market fit. And you're right, I could make 100,000 phone calls. But if I haven't really spent the time to talk to my market to understand what I bring to the table, what's in it for them, those 100,000 phone calls are gonna fall flat no matter how many calls I make if I have not solved for who is my customer and why do they care about what I have to offer.
Well, honestly, and it this, and I'll kind of talk on this here in a minute too, but there's this idea called the challenger sale. And so again, I'm in my pursuit of finding value for people and in my pursuit of having better conversations, I probably spend like an hour or so a week like researching charisma and researching sales and researching business and then diving deeper into my own industry. And the reason I say all that because this idea of the challenger sale, it's something that I absolutely love because it doesn't necessarily go into like, hey, here's how you should go to market and stuff like that. But it goes into that idea of finding the need for your client, even if they don't understand it quite yet, or even not know that that's what they need. And so I say that because there's two ideas that kind of go that we could go down the path for, right? The first being that if you're a salesperson for any industry, and if you're a small business owner, you are a salesperson. If you're a salesperson for any industry, every client in that industry will likely have the same issue, right? And so, I was talking to small business owners today as a financial advisor, right? And they don't typically have succession planning. They don't know how to, pass the business on to their kids or to whomever they want. They typically, are trying to retain top talent. And then on the flip side is typically they're struggling to untie the knot of their personal finances, their business finances, right? And that's three quick topics that I know as a financial professional I can solve. And that's something that you can do in your industry that everyone, once they understand the industry that they're in, you could probably narrow down. Here's issues that people will face. And I say three because psychologically, people are able to hold on to the concept of three ideas a lot better than if I try to like dump a bunch of stuff for them. And so it's again, to your point, that's one main aspect. But the other main aspect is, and it gets into the heart of what we're talking about, is this book goes through the different types of sales professionals. And so it'll say, here's your hard worker. That's the guy that we're talking about that, calls. Wakes up at 6 in the morning, stays up till midnight. He's making 100,000 phone calls, and he's like, "Hey, I'm doing the work, right?" And it's like, well, that doesn't mean you're having the right conversations. You have the relationship manager. This is the kind of person who, we can talk for days, right? And you have to be able to talk to people and relate and show that level of empathy. But on the flip side, just because you and I are talking about our kids, or we're talking about, hey, I went golfing this weekend, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that equates into sales or equates into business partnership. And the next one is the more consultative person. And being consultative is great. You need to hear what your client's issues are and have those conversations around it. But that doesn't mean you're proactively telling your client or being more proactive in the business of saying, hey, this is what your main issue is. You lose that control of the proactivity. And so they might only look at you when they have a problem. And it's not our job as salespeople or entrepreneurs to say, to just be there when they need us.
Right.
It's to show them, hey, we are what you need, you know? And then they have the lone wolf. These are the rock stars and the businesses that just do whatever the heck they want. They're playing by their own rules, right? And like every salesperson, every entrepreneur has ran into someone who's like, yeah, I'm making a couple million a year, just, you know, going to the beach and, you
Just
know,
existing, yes.
yeah, isn't that nice? I wish I was doing that, you know?
We'll put that into the universe for us someday. We'll make a whole bunch of money just existing.
Hey, I'm cool with that. Just, yeah, manifest, right? Like you just got to manifest at the end of the interview.
So, in your experience, like, how do you balance the transactional need to close a deal and the holistic relationship building that goes into that process? Like, how do you connect those two without hurting one or the other?
In my industry, it's a lot easier because there are products specifically that are more transactional and solutions. So like if you come in and you engage a conversation more along the lines of, all right, well, let's talk about your objectives and your needs and your goals, right? That can drive, you can really drive where those conversations are going to kind of balance that. Really, when I'm in conversation, there's a concept called conversational threading, and I'm sure you've probably heard of that. I love conversational threading, and it's weird because now if I don't have an agenda in a conversation, I'm like, this is strange, you know, like been in sales too long. It's where you come in and you can say, all right, well, wherever we start, there are conversational patterns and flows that I can kind of rely on that I've done a million times, right? Where I might be able to highlight, all right, well, here are the issues that, you know, you're having in your industry, or here's some of the issues that, you know, I want to talk about today, and here's what other people are telling me their concerns are, right? And so if I come into a conversation and know, hey, I feel pretty confident that I can get you into the conversation around what your problems are and how I can solve them, right? You can kind of steer the conversation where you want. And I think that is very important towards the conversation of, again, this challenger approach of, hey, your client doesn't know what problems they actually have. But on the flip side, that idea of the transactional versus the more long-term holistic approach, clients want to feel heard. They want to know, they don't want to be sold. Nobody wants a pushy salesman. And like I told, I'm usually very nice, but I was on a Zoom call and my dog was barking and my daughter was going crazy. And she's like, hey, I want a popsicle. And a door popped up and I was like, nah, man, I'm good. Just leave. And he's like, well, what if I just wanted to be your friend? And I'm like, you're a door-to-door salesman.
Right.
I don't need that kind of friend. And he's like, oh, okay. And he walked away and I felt rude, but again, that goes back to the concept of like, nobody really wants to be sold. Like that's not, we want to feel heard and we want to actually get value from these conversations. And so, if you're providing value, you'd be in surprised at how much of the transactional business still provides value and how much of the long-term business provides value.
Considering all of the people that you know or that you aspire to know or books that you're reading that we have to hear about, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we do this?
One is Matthew Dixon. Again, he's the author of The Challenger Sale, and I talk so much about that because, again, I'm a sales nerd, and that's probably one of the books that I've most gravitated towards. But the other one is Rutger Bregman. He's the author of Moral Ambition, and the reason I bring that up is because we have to lead with purpose, and we have to, you know, use our success and grind towards success, but with passion and purpose, and use that to benefit others, in my opinion. And so that's something that when I'm looking at my business acumen and people that I look up to, it's that those books and those concepts that really have resonated well and have been what I've built my entire practice around is I want to work and be successful so that I can empower others to bring them up with me.
And if someone is really connecting with you and they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
No, great question. I have three different ways. So LinkedIn, James Mills, MBA, CRPC. That's a great way. We have our website, ironvestfinancialpartners.com. And then the last way, and this is predominantly for the financial professionals, here in October, I'll be launching or I'll be publishing a book called Real Growth for Advisors, Modern Scaling for Financial Practices. And so it talks a lot about all of these concepts and even more. And so if they really like the concept, reach out those other two ways or hey, wait till October and grab my book.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal.
Hey, I appreciate being on. Thanks.